in love. It's because we love God that our faith can fulfill the law. I started thinking about that, and from that, I started thinking, you know, a lot of salvation depends on love. Everything, in fact, from the beginning to the end, has its roots in love. So that's what we're going to be doing today. We're going to be going through the process of salvation from beginning to end and looking how it relates to love. But first off, I looked up in the King James Version, and there's 522 mentions of love in the Bible. And if there's something like 8,000 verses, one in every 15 verses talks about love, something like that. It's a very prominent theme throughout the entire Word of God. Starting from the beginning, where does salvation start? Well, salvation starts with the fall of man. And what happens when man falls from God? Let's read Mark 12, verses 28 through 33. This is Jesus is talking to the people. And it says, "One of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him," that is Jesus, "which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said unto him, "Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the soul and with all the strength and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." And then Jesus says, "You're not far from the kingdom of God." So, and in another version of, it might have been the same incident, Jesus says, "On this hangs all the law and the prophets." It was on the two commandments, to love God and to love our brethren. And that's kind of the theme of all of salvation. Sin is the failure to love God and to love our brethren. Amen. Every sin is rooted in a lack of love for either God or our brethren or both. Yes. Amen. And so the first, what about the first sin? That was Adam in the garden. Adam and Eve in the garden eating the fruit that God told them would kill them. If they loved God, you could imagine that they wouldn't be wanting to disobey him. But since that did not exist in their hearts to the extent that it should have, they took it and they ate, and that was the original fall of mankind. One of the second or third sin, if you call Adam and Eve eating the apple or eating the fruit as separate sins, Cain killing Abel was a lack of love for his brother. And so as you can just go on farther and farther with every sin is a lack of love for either your fellow man or for God. Amen. Just to illustrate this, if you can, try to think of a sin that is done while you're loving God and loving your brethren. What exactly does that look like? When you're in the spirit of love, when you're thinking about God and praising him and loving your brethren, what sin are you going to commit? It's just silly. That never happens, because sin is the absence of love. Or it results from that. And then going on in the story of salvation, God saw us when we were in sin and he loved us. This was God's love came first. You see, we haven't had any love in us yet. The story starts with us having no love, and then it goes on and God is loving us. And so God is the original person here. John 3:16 and 17, everyone's heard this one. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So, God sent his Son into a world that did not love God, because God loved the world. Ezekiel 16, we'll be reading verses 2 through 6 and verses 8 through 10. This is a very common section of the Bible that is relating to our situation without God. It says, "Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus saith the Lord God unto Jerusalem, Thy birth and thy nativity is of the land of Canaan. Thy father was an Amorite, and thy mother an Hittite. And as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy navel was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee, nor wast thou salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None I pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee. But thou wast cast out in the open field, to the loathing of thy person in the day that thou wert born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thy own blood, I said unto thee when thou wast in thy blood, Live. Yea, I said unto thee when thou wast in thy blood, Live." So Israel here, and figuratively all of us, are sitting in here. And the only thing that this picture doesn't do perfectly is show that it was our own fault that we were there. They have no ability to love God. They have no ability to do anything. They're sitting there and they're wounded and dying, and we're being controlled by Satan when we're in sin, and we have nothing of ourselves. But then God comes along and he loved us, and so he took us up and he said, "Live" to us. Verse 8 says, "Now when I passed by thee, I looked upon thee. Behold, thy time was the time of love, and I spread my skirt over thee, and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee, and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. Then I washed thee with water, yea, I thoroughly washed away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. I clothed thee also with broidered work, and shod thee with badger skin, and I girded thee about with fine linen, and covered thee with silk." So you see God's love for the people of Israel, and by extension, for our souls, that he took us in while we couldn't do anything, and he loved us. 1 John 4, verses 9 and 10, "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." And that sums it up really nicely, that God loved us, not that we loved God. This isn't our work, but God loved us, and so he saved us from our state. And so, after we didn't love God, God came, he loved us, and he saved us by his Son, and he gave us a love for God and for the brethren. So he is the reason that we can love God. And the reason that we can love the brethren is because he's given us that love. Yes, see, it wasn't enough for God just to save us. If God just forgave our sins and didn't change our hearts at all, we would just go back and we still didn't have love in our hearts. We didn't love God, so we went back and did the same sins again, just like the Israelites every year after the Day of Atonement. They would go and all their sins would be forgiven. They would go back and they wouldn't be changed, so they would all go sin again, and it would all just go over and over and over again. They would be offering sacrifices year by year continually, and it never made the comers thereunto perfect. But the bringing in of a better hope did. And so this God did this by giving us a love for him and a love for brethren in our hearts. 1 Peter 1 verse 22. "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit," remember this is through the Spirit, "unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently." So we love the brethren because we're obeying the commandment of God through the Spirit that he's given us. So ultimately this all comes back to God's work. God's the one who gave us the love for the brethren. 1 John 3, verses 11 through 16. "For this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So everyone who is in God loves the brethren because God has given them that love in their hearts. And so anyone who's following God and who's walking in the Spirit has the fruits of the Spirit, which there's a whole list of them, and in there is love. God has given us the love for one another and for him. Galatians 5, verses 4 through 6. This is the thing that we started with. Christ is become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. You are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit do wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. And so our faith is effective unto God because we have love for him and love for the brethren. That's how we're accepted, not by the law. The law demanded that we do certain things, and faith demands that we love God. And that is the fulfillment of the law, is the love that we have in our hearts. And so now after God saved us and gave us his love, he now keeps us through his love. John 10, verses 27 through 29. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And so God loves us, and so he keeps us in this protected space in his hand. And as long as we stay in him and abide in his love, he, through his love, keeps us from falling.
Amen. Yes.
Zechariah 2, verses 3 through 9. And behold, the angel that talked with me went forth, and another angel went out to meet him, and said unto him, Run, speak to this young man, saying, Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men and cattle therein. For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Ho, ho, come forth, and flee from the land of the north, saith the Lord, for I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the heaven, saith the Lord. Deliver thyself, O Zion, that dwelleth with the daughter of Babylon, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, After the glory hath he set me unto the nations which spoiled you, for he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. For behold, I will shake mine hand upon them, and they shall be a spoil to their servants, and ye shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me. And so this is the love that God has for his people. And he is very protective of anyone who stays in him because of his love for us. That is the core of all of this, is that God loves us. And that's why he saved us in the first place, and that's why he keeps us like he does. Jesus said, when he was speaking to the end times, about the end times to the disciples, he said, Not an hair of your head shall perish. He promised to keep us, and he promised to never leave us nor forsake us, because his love for us never ends. And we cry unto God as a father. He says we cry unto him, we say, Abba, Father, because he is our Father, and because he does love us, so he can keep us. And we love him because of the love that he's given us. In addition, we keep each other through our love for each other. And remember, this is all God-given love. This isn't what we've determined by ourselves. We keep one another through the love God's given us for the brethren. So how do we do that? It helps us, it makes us assemble together to lift one another up. It makes us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, because we love the brethren, and we want them to be lifted up, because when they're lifted up, we're lifted up, and we're all one body through Christ. In addition, it helps us to rebuke one another when we fall into a fault, and also to restore one of those people to the church after they repent, because we do love them and we can't bear to see them fall away. It takes a lot of love to rebuke someone, but through the love that God's given us for one another, we do it to keep each other strong. Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And that takes a lot of love for the person. But we can do it because God has given us that love. So we've talked about our fall. We've talked about God's salvation. We've talked about God keeping us. Let's talk about the eternal reward that we're going to get. And why do we get this eternal reward? Well, because God loves us. Because God loves his bride. Revelation 21, verses 1 through 4. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And of course, this New Jerusalem is the church of God that's prepared as a bride for a husband. And we see that God is going to keep them and comfort them and wipe away all tears from their eyes, because he loved us when we were sinners, and he loved us well, we're here on earth following him, and he's going to love us forever when we're there with him. And this is the one constant thing that we see through all of this, is God's love for us. And now that he's given us to have love for each other and love for God, once we reach heaven, that's going to be a constant as well, because we're going to be like God, for we'll see him as he is. So I thought it was interesting to look through this and see the part that love plays in all of these different steps of salvation. To see that everything in our salvation is driven by love. And that should be kind of our focus. Now, what I like to do at the end of something like this is to think about how this applies to our lives. How can we use this to become more like God? Obviously, God's the one who does the work, but we can take instruction from his word. Just to live in the spirit of love. To not just pray to God once in a while and not just read his word, but to actually love him and to think about him and to talk to him and to actively love the brethren. Passive love isn't love. Active love is what keeps each other strong. And to also to thank God for his love that he's given us, no matter where we were in our lives. Do you guys have comments or corrections?
Amen. Very good. Insightful. I feel to bring this point and focus up, because it is true, everything that was said. And it just keeps us to know what's important.
Guys, for your comments. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for loving us even when we didn't love you. I thank you.